Mad Radio, Rockets win against the Golden State Warriors 98-94 in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. Chris Paul got hurt with 51 seconds to go. How do you handle Game 6 because of Chris Paul's status right now? And also just the idea of it's going to be so damn hard to go in there and win. I'm not trying to have a loser mentality here. I'm honestly not.
Right. No, you have to be realistic here. You have to be extremely realistic and say, okay, Chris Paul has really come on. In these last two series, there have been times where we've said, okay, where's Chris Paul? What's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, miraculously, Chris Paul appeared in glorious fashion. He did it versus Utah. He's doing it now. And the question just becomes, can you beat the Warriors without Chris Paul? And two things need to happen. You need to go more than 0 for 20 with your three-pointers.
Yes.
And I believe that I'm going to be bold and make this claim. James Harden will shoot at least 20% from the three-point line in this next game.
I would hope so.
If James Harden had shot 20% from the three-point line in this game, it would have been a much more convincing victory. If he just shot six to nine extra points from the three-point line, he would have been all right. So I think he's going to do that, but can he do it without Chris Paul? I think what you have to do is this. You go out and you approach this game that you're going to approach this game to win. You're not going out and telling guys like, hey, we're going to feel it out. You're not treating it like some preseason game or something. But I think you have to have the strategy of, like, what would the stat people call it? A high variance strategy? Where it's either going to be, you know what? It's either going to work or you're going to bomb incredibly if you think that Chris Paul will be back for game 7. So you go out there. Gerald Green's going to get 25 minutes.
Yes.
Ryan Anderson's going to get 7 minutes. Mbamute is going to get a big old cortisone shot, and he's going to play a bunch. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to take 55 three-point attempts. You're just going to go out. You'll play tuck wagon lineups where you're just small ball all over the place and just try to score. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If you know going into the game that you think Chris Paul will be there for game 7.
Well, I'm looking at this, and it was notable that Steve Kerr decided to, because if you look at the minutes last night, the Warriors' best players and the Rockets' best players, they all played about the same amount of minutes. The Warriors guys were around 40, 41, 42. James Harden played 39. Paul played 38. And then Ariza and Tucker have just been basically like they've been like pitchers in 1885.
See, that's why I'd say that those four guys for the Warriors had, I don't know if substantial is the right word, but 3 minutes more. 3 minutes more than both Chris Paul and James Harden, at least. So whatever notable notoriety that is. What do we have here?
Interest show note coming up.
My final opportunity to make Seth Payne mad. So yes. I decided that I'm just going to spring a guest on you
for
the next 4 minutes. Like a Line 1 style guest, but he's actually going to be here in person.
Yes.
Comedian David Alan Greer will be here any moment now.
Oh,
all right.
David Alan Greer. So you guys can do your research right now.
David Alan Greer. This is fun. This isn't some schlub or anything.
Yale.
I don't know him personally.
I'm just kidding.
You are both Ivy League.
Where did you go? You went to Yale?
I went to Yale. Yeah.
Look at this guy.
You went to Yale?
From Michigan. A guy, somebody from Detroit that went to Yale.
Yes. He got a start on NPR. So he's got that going for him.
Did he really? What the hell? David Alan Greer might be a little too bright for us this early morning. Up next, we got a dude from Yale that was on NPR before he became a famous comedian.
I had no idea
David Greer had that resume. He's kind of slumming it as a comedian, is he not?
Well, you can ask him if you want. I've lost my... All right, let me regather my train of thought here. Okay, game 6. All right. I actually had this thought last night during the game. My thought was, why doesn't Mike D'Antoni try Bamute for a few minutes just because of how low scoring the game was? Because if the game was really high scoring, then you might think, okay, Bamute's lack of confidence offensively is going to really hurt you. But in a game that's a complete slogfest, especially with some of the... They had some stretches last night the Rockets did. I think particularly in the second quarter late when they blew the lead, where they obviously offensively did not get things going. Now, Bamute's probably not going to help that. But I say that in a 98-94 game, you feel like maybe for a few minutes, 5, 8, 10... that Bamute could maybe help you out in a situation like this because of the way this series is now being played.
I think that, boy, you know, if there's one guy that I just kept thinking of this morning, and I almost don't even want to bring this up, and I feel, I, I wish Kevin McHale had never made a couple of the comments that he made over the last year where he questioned the Rockets and James Harden's toughness and ability to win when you have to muck it up and all those things. And I understand that there was probably some really dicey stuff behind the scenes that led Kevin McHale to feel that way. But like right now, McHale's being proven wrong in a lot of respects. But they did it by bringing in guys. They brought in old school guys. They brought in PJ Tucker. They brought in Bamute. They brought in these guys that are like blue collar guys. Blue collar guys like... We've got David Alan Greer in here. Good morning.
Are we on the air? Because
we are on the air. Yes.
We are on the air. You've got your Detroit Red Wings hat.
Well,
on.
I just heard from Chris Paul. He's out.
Yeah. Guys. Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah. He's out. The rest of
them. Wait. The rest of what?
You guys didn't hear?
The rest of the series?
Yeah, he's out the rest of the series.
Thank God we had you on.
Well, I wouldn't look it up. I just closed that computer up. What I'm saying is true. You don't need to, you know, verify it.
I feel like you're trolling us.
I'm not at all. Did you not see the game last night?
We saw the game last night.
Yeah, you didn't see him get injured?
Yeah,
he pulled his...
And we know that he's likely... We're not optimistic that he's going to play in game six.
Let me tell you guys something. Let's speak facts. It's an amazing victory. Purely luck, but you know, we won't get into that. No, but he
you didn't
really
just read something on your phone this morning.
I talked to Chris Paul. He's a childhood friend. All black people know each other. That's a fact.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're excited that you're in here because we know you can obviously talk basketball.
But wait. Okay, listen, he had a previous injury. It was his left hamstring. This was his right hamstring.
Yeah.
It was a non-contact injury. And if you guys are jocks, former jocks, you know a lot of times non-contact injury is worse than a contact injury. I don't know how bad it is. I really don't know.
Oh, yeah. If it was like a banged knee or something, you'd actually feel pretty good about it. You'd be like, hey, you drain that thing, get back out there, give it the old college try.
You're right. Hamstring. Look at the thing.
No. We know all this. You came in there though, like, and said, like, he's gone for the entire series.
He's out.
Stop it.
He may be gone for all of next season, too. So,
that's not our concern. He's a free agent.
You made us scare that we weren't doing our job. I'm like, oh, my God. I missed something. I missed a report.
But I do hate, though. I love watching ESPN. I hate when, like, Stephen A. Smith is looking at his phone. You know, he's checking his mentions, man. He's like, hey, I'm reporting right now.
Yeah, that's
I mean, I can't be looking at you when you're talking because I'm communicating with the players.
That's a fun thing about this job, David, is that I get away with that in social situations. I get to be like a 16-year-old like a teenager. Yes. Like, I'm sorry, I'm working. Like, look at how hard Seth is working because I'm on my phone.
The coach is,
like,
the coach is texting
me. Like, I'm working.
Yeah, right. Like, this is a superstar. Yeah, he's texting you at like 7 in the morning. I don't know how bad the injury is. I'm sure that... You're going to find out. Either he plays or he doesn't. If he plays well, then he's good.
Hey, somebody told me something just 3 minutes ago that I didn't realize about you. They said that you got your start on NPR. Did you do a couple shows on NPR, like the kind of like those audio dramas? Or?
Here's what happened. My acting teacher, my second year in acting school, his name was John Madden. He was my Shakespeare teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out to L.A. to visit a friend. I mean, I was still in school. I had another year. And John was doing the radio version of Star Wars, the serialized version. And he called me when I was out there. Now, mind you, I was broke, man. I was so broke. They paid me $800. And this might as well have been $80,000. It's like, $800? Are you kidding me? I met Mark Hamill, all the original cast, except for, I think, Harrison Ford did this radio thing. We did like 20 episodes. I played various stormtroopers. You know, they gave me a copy NPR, but that was really in the very beginning. Hung out with Mark.
And it was an audio version of Star Wars, or was it kind
serialized?
Of like spin-off?
No,
like...
it was audio version. It was done with Lucasfilms. You understand? So it was, because what people forget is Star Wars, a lot of the influence of that original movie was based on these short serialized films like Buck Rogers and these westerns
stuff.
That was a big influence to these guys. So they sanctioned this, and they were kind of around. And I remember Mark had this cookout at his house. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh.
How old were you?
I had to be 21, 22
That's a
years
big deal.
Old.
You it's weird because you stumbled into it's almost like that classic story, except of immediate success, except for the actual being on screen part of it.
Dude.
Like you're hanging out with all these people and everything, and it's on NPR. But
you
it's,
forget, man, that was the biggest, hugest movie ever.
Right.
At that time,
yeah.
And so I did this play in New York. It was my first job. professional job after I graduated, and Mark came, and I hung out with him again. Really nice guy. And when my play flopped, you know, and he sent me, which I've since lost, you used to be able to get these fake headlines. And he had this whole thing made up. He's like, David Alan Greer flops in his play, whatever. It was funny, but really nice guy. All those dudes, yeah.
So you got out there. So how quickly were you hanging out with LA Lakers by the time you got out there?
I wasn't. You know, I wasn't a Laker dude for a while. I'm from Detroit, born and raised.
Yeah.
Also, back then, you know, in the 80s, Denzel, who was a friend, all those guys bought courtside tickets. And I wasn't, like, down like that. I came really into the Laker fold, like, in the early aughts, you know, when Kobe Bryant was in his prime. When Shaquille O'Neal was traded to L.A., I met Shaquille when he was in Orlando, you know, again, way back. When he was traded to L.A., can I tell you, that was like Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, birthday, everything, all in one. I was so happy.
We're actually, my producer and I, Landry, are talking to Shaq later today. What's the one or two questions we have to ask him?
Well, first of all, Shaq, if you ask me, my favorite player of all time was Shaquille O'Neal. I loved when he was in L.A. Loved him, man. You know, in his prime, when they traded him, that really, I've never had my relationship change, man. It's like your best friend whose wife cheats on him. You can't never look at her right again. It's like, hey, girl, what's up? Whatever. You know, so that's kind of like the way it's been. But I love Shaquille O'Neal, man. Love him.
What should I ask him?
What should you ask him?
Something dirty, like something like, not like something that's going to get anybody in trouble, but like,
I don't have any dirt. Ask him, you mean
basketball? Did you ever get a sense, like were you ever in the same room as him and Kobe together?
No, but I'll tell you a story. I mean, I was like courtside when they're playing.
Yeah.
Detroit, okay? And I remember Shaquille O'Neal battles into the paint. And it looked like three or four defenders. I mean, he was a giant. They were hanging off his arms. Mm-hmm. And he's like, to Kobe, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I'm in the paint. I'm right under the basket. Kobe shakes him off. He dribbles a couple. The clock is winding down. And he wanted to be the buzzer beater. He tosses the shot up, bricks it, turns, and walks off. And Shaquille's just hanging there. And I realized in that moment, they were not going to win. And in fact, Detroit went on to sweep them because they just were not working together.
That was a shocking series.
I'm going to tell you. It's some of what I see with Houston and Golden State. Houston just has a hunger that you can't manufacture. You know, Golden State already has two titles. They're like your rich cousin who has a bigger yard than you and all the fancy equipment. Like, there's a guy on YouTube, this Asian dude that has the Hendrix guitar. He has the Hendrix Marshall amp, all the effects.
Yeah.
And he's like banging away, and the comment goes, you have all this equipment, yet you sound nothing like Jimi Hendrix.
It's like James Dolan's band.
Hey, man. You know what I'm saying? There was a shot of Chris Paul on the sideline talking to his team.
Oh, that was a great
with
a great
such
point.
Passion.
Yeah.
And he has never been this far. You can't duplicate that with someone who's already had everything.
Who's already caught the
biggest fish. And I think that is what it comes down to, because they're very close. As a matter of fact, Golden State should win, yet they're not. And when it comes down to that fourth quarter, if Houston is close, just like last night, Golden State is the one that started jacking up shots, performing tight, and doing things that were uncharacteristic, playing the same ball that allowed them to beat Houston in the first two games. So,
David Alan Greer. Jinx to you. Well, you're going to be at Houston Improv this weekend.
Yes.
Tonight and Saturday.
Tonight, tomorrow, and one Sunday.
And then one on Sunday. Go to HoustonImprov.com. This is a man.
ImprovHouston.com.
ImprovHouston.com?
They've got all the tickets, yes.
Are you sure?
I'm 100%.
Yes. All right.
I've been doing this for a while.
Listen, everybody. This is a Yale-trained thespian.
Yes. Absolutely.
But I didn't know that when I was idolizing the whole crew on In Living Color. So I didn't realize you're a Yale man. He's a Detroit fan, but he knows his basketball.
Absolutely. David Alan Greer, enjoy this weekend. Thank you so much.
I will, man. I have one last question.
Go ahead.
When's the next game in Houston? Is it
Monday? It'll be Monday.
Monday.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day Monday.
Yeah.
Think about this. Chris Paul is injured. He's got to fly. Flying's very bad.
That's one of the things we're talking about today is whether he should even fly.
He's going to take
the John Madden bus out there. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Have there seriously, have there been any reports?
Not
right
yet.
Now like, it's military. They're right. not giving up.
I think the prevailing opinion so far among a lot of people is like, all right, listen, if there's any doubt at all, just sit him game six
yes.
and
That's
just gear up for game seven and
That's
see what you can pull off.
They can afford that. They can. It's risky, but that's yeah. where we're at.
We'll see we got to run, man.
Dave yeah, Allen yeah, okay. Greer, check them out this weekend, ImprovHouston.com. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, the one at 7:30 on Sunday as well. Mark Vandermeer in next. His reaction to game number five, plus his three main takeaways from Texans OTAs at 8:20. We'll get to Trevor Bauer in the 9 o'clock hour. You're listening to Mad Radio on Sports Radio 610.